Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sandy W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 21st, and we will be reading from the Big Book. We are on page 66, the first paragraph, which begins, "It is plain that a life," and we're reading just that one paragraph only today. So today's readers are, for the 12 steps, we have Martha M. For the 12 traditions, we have Dory P. The readers of the text are Deb E. will be reading our reading on page 66. Lois P. will be reading at the end, page 164. And we have Eileen M. waiting in the wings as our backup, just if necessary. Then we have our newcomer greeter, which will be Lorraine N., and announcements, Leslie M. So let's see, reference numbers. Okay, the reference number for yesterday's special edition, which was Sunday, June 20th, is 17,187. That's 17187. And then for the earlier meeting today, Monday, June 21st, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that number is 17,191. 17191. Okay, OA preamble. So Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. So, our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now I'm going to ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you, Martha M. Thanks for doing that service for us. So now I will ask Dory P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning to everyone from Georgia. Dory P., grateful compulsive overeater. These are our traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group must never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Dory P. Thanks so much for doing that service for us. Okay, so how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. And we ask that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing, and you'll hear me say time when those 3 minutes are up. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, or I'm done sharing, that works too. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we will be, of course, resuming our study in the Big Book. We are on page 66, the first paragraph, and it begins, "It is plain that a life," and we're reading just that one paragraph only. So I will ask Deb E. to begin our reading. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal, for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. So this first sentence, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. My first response to that was like, oh, come on, are you serious? I've just been told that I'm powerless over my addiction. I have to turn my life over, care of higher power, that I have to surrender, and now I don't even get to keep my resentments. I don't even get to keep that character defect. And it's so humbling, right? Like, it's like, no, I have to keep my side of the street squeaky clean. I cannot afford to have resentments. And I was taught to look at every little annoyance I have and write that down in my resentment list too, because it's those little things that really get me and that can take me down. All those things that I find annoying, and there's so many things that I find annoying. So I'm in real trouble if I if I let those things get the better of me and I don't take care of them and I don't surrender. And I love how serious the big book is and how much it drives the point home that, like, this is serious business. This business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it's fatal, right? And then with us to drink is to die. And I think in the beginning, in my early years in program, I didn't fully believe that, but I really believe it today. And I know it's true. And that is a big part of my motivation and discipline to keep working this program every day, because I know I don't want to take any chances of going back to that life. And I don't like, you know, face, like, admitting how many resentments I have and all that. It's very, you know, my ego doesn't like it at all. It's very deflating. But the best thing for my recovery is to deflate my ego. And the best thing for my recovery is to be completely engulfed in the sunlight of the spirit and not shut off from it. And my disease is all about being shut off from the sunlight of the spirit. And I really like that line. It just gives me a lot of hope. It conjures up this image in my mind. Just this, like, hope and light and, like, this higher level of living that I try to attain by working these steps. And so I feel like this paragraph kind of starts with this bad news, like, oh, you're not going to get away with holding on to resentments. But then there's always this reminder of hope, but by doing that, I'm going to get to this better place, and it will happen. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Deb E. Thanks so much for reading for us and for your share. Really appreciate your service. So I'm going to open the lines and start to take a list of people who would like to share, but I just want to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we just ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you want to give me your name and the first initial of your last name, I'll get a list going. Who would like to comment today?
Danielle W.
Eileen M.
Eileen.
Deborah K.
Ronnie B.
Cynthia C.
Cynthia.
Donna B.
Donna. Okay, let's stop there. I hope I can read my handwriting. I didn't get last initials, but we'll get those as we go along, as well as your state if you'd like to give it so people can try to find you on the contact list. So I've got Danielle, Eileen, Deborah, Ronnie, Cynthia, and Donna. Danielle, I think it was W. Go right ahead and give us your state if you'd like. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Yes, this is Danielle W. from California. Recovered one day at a time and very grateful to be here. I've been out of town for a few weeks and I love this meeting so much. You know, this paragraph, it unlocked this program for me. It really opened the door to understanding the program. Specifically, for when we harbor such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. And I just, you know, I felt like if I pray, if I show up, you know, shouldn't that be enough to strengthen the relationship that I have with my higher power? You know, and I, you know, I saw people who spent a lifetime, and no criticism there, you know, but deep in their faith, but didn't feel the same level of connection. And this explains to me why we feel blocked. What is it that's keeping us completely in sync with and close to and in alignment with our higher power? And it's all of these things that keep us from the sunlight of the spirit. That's the work that we have to do. It's not enough just to show up. It's not enough to just want a deeper relationship. I need to do the work, and I loved what she said about even the little things. You know, if I'm disturbed, there's something I need to look at. And when I stay clean, when I address my resentments and my fears and look at my sexual inventory, the channel's clear. And then I feel so connected. I know when I'm in alignment. I can ask for guidance. And I know I'm hearing. I have confidence in that relationship. So, you know, this program is just so beautiful. It's so beautifully laid out in this book. And this to me is just such a significant paragraph in helping us to strengthen that bond with our higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Danielle W. from California. Thanks so much for that share. So next up we have Eileen, and she will be followed by Deborah. Eileen, just give us your last initial and state, and then go right ahead. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, and I'm just looking at that word futility. The word futility means uselessness. And also the word squander means to waste time in a reckless and foolish manner. And, you know, I love looking up words. It really kind of defines the whole, what, you know, gives it a new context for me. And, you know, when I'm, like, burning up energy foolishly and wasting time, I'm not useful to other people. And as a recovered woman, you know, it's imperative that I continue to take moral inventory and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. Because the problem with this resentment, you know, it says earlier that it's infinitely grave, you know, and the reason is, you know, it becomes an obsession for me, and it just kind of takes over my mind and my thinking, and it tends to, like, the more I think about it, it just grows and grows, you know, that re-feeling, the anger, you know, and it leads to insanity, it really does, and it is fatal, and, you know, it's like, is that productive for me? It's like, it's not productive at all, you know, and it really does. You know, people were saying in the earlier meeting that it makes me feel cut off from other people, and I do. I feel cut off. I either feel superior to them or I feel, you know, it's mostly I feel superior, you know, and it's just, it really cuts me off from God. And it tends to, like, it's interesting. It tends to build up. If it builds up, and then I'll start getting resentful at other things that, you know, that might not have bothered me before. It just keeps growing bigger. So it's so important to just keep doing that inventory and looking at my part. You know, how am I selfish? How am I dishonest? How am I fearful? Because usually a lot of these resentments have fear for me. But I'm so grateful to have this tool of looking at this. And thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. That was Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Thanks for your share. Okay, so next up is Deborah, followed by Ronnie. So, Deborah, your last initial and state, and then go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you for chairing the meeting and all those that have made this meeting possible and the share so far. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and last week, I had this resentment. It was huge, full of anger, full of fear, full of hurt, full of pain. I mean, I could feel it in my body, the body sensations. I'm becoming more aware of what goes on in my body today because I'm clean with the food. And it was huge in my body. And then my mind was in that insanity mode, which causes all that. And it was such an awareness, an awakening to take that to a 10th step. And I took it to a 10th step. I called somebody, did a 10th step. I called someone else after to be of service. And it was like, it was gone. And you know what? Again, it reminded me the power of that power in step two. And also that power, that presence, that loving presence that loves me so much and doesn't want me to suffer. It doesn't want me to suffer in resentment. It doesn't want me to suffer in the food because in that dying, you know, if I go back to the food, I'll get diabetes and I can die. And, you know, that presence is just amazing. If I just trust and take it to that presence. And I just love those beautiful 12 steps in this way of life. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. Deborah G from Arizona. Thanks for that share. Okay, so next up we have Ronnie, followed by Cynthia. Ronnie, your last initial and state, and then go right ahead. Good morning. Ronnie, we're not hearing you. You may need to press star one.
Sorry, I pressed the wrong key. I'm Ronnie B. as in boy from Missouri, recovering overeater and compulsively, and happy to be here. And I really mean that. That's amazing. So much was said, and there's some in such a small chunk of the book can give me so very much. So to keep it focused, I do better when I rely on my higher power in my food or for my food, for my life, for my relationships, for my prayers. And I want to remember that. I always need to remember that, but I actually want to. And I think that's who this program is for. So a couple of things. One is the squandering of stuff, certainly food. A lot was squandered by how much I call it jamming and cramming. You know, so much was squandered that way. So much was squandered because of how much I bought. Because I didn't know what I would want to compulsively overeat. So I just bought a myriad of stuff, large quantities of stuff, squandering food because of, as a result, how much was wasted. Couldn't be eaten, was no good. Rotted in the fridge, wilted, you know, and it can be like that. You know, this program is about the food, but it's not about the food. I can squander my relationships. You know what I mean? I don't pay attention, or I'm reckless with them. I overstate my point to people, you know, that kind of control. So there's a lot for me to turn over to my higher power when I wake up each day. So my prayer and meditation is I open my eyes, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then for me, I get on my knees, I do my third step prayer. And I have a couple of things I need to do with my animals. And then I get my coffee. And then I start with my readings. And I contemplate those readings. Or sometimes I'll walk with them and do a walking meditation. When I start my day with that baseline, my day goes better. When I ask my higher power, is this a good food? I do better. When I decide something is a good food, and I don't need to ask my higher power, I know it's not. It's not my binge foods. It's just not my, it's not my best choice. And, you know, this is all about the big book, which I love. But I will say it's also about, for me, turning stuff over that didn't work. You know, I went to a potluck last week. I assumed they were going to have to eat what we all agreed we were going to have to eat. And so I brought my stuff. And when I got there, a base food for me, which is salad, was not there. So in that situation, I made the best possible choices because I need to eat. And that's for sure. I'd be passing out. But it made me realize that the next time we have one of these, I know what I'm bringing. I'm going to bring what I need to eat. So all of that comes because
time.
Thank you. My higher power tells me what to and not to do, so I need to stay in touch. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Thanks so much for sharing with us. So next up, we have Cynthia, followed by Donna. Good morning, Cynthia. Just give us your last initial and state, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much, moderator. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive overeater and food addict, normally from Newton, Massachusetts, and currently in Freiburg, Maine. And this is just really, I'm so grateful to be on this meeting. Just thank you. Everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day, just so deeply, deeply grateful to connect in and hear everyone and to read this. This is like the perfect paragraph for me today. I'm on vacation with my family, and I got an Airbnb and VRBO, and like there've been a number of problems. We arrived yesterday, and there have been a number of issues with the house. You know, which built up my resentment, and there were issues around my kids, and because we keep kosher, there was, and I'm, you know, in recovery, like, and I needed my food, like, just the amount of work I had to put into a paying for the place, and then packing up our kitchen stuff, and packing up all the food, and, you know, I just, And I'm burnt out. Like I am burnt out. I left my job of 8 years because I was so burnt out and it became so toxic. And I can see how resentment builds up in me. You know, right now I didn't sleep well last night and yesterday was a pretty stressful day. And you know, and I'm in that halt. I'm not hungry. I had breakfast especially early because I couldn't sleep last night. But I can feel like I'm angry. I'm feeling a little lonely and even with my family. And I'm really, really tired. And that all builds up to resentments for me. You know, I'm grateful that I took a walk yesterday and was able to do a 10-step with my sponsor, which really helped. I've been doing meditation. I know that my answer is a spiritual, like what I need now is not food. It's not venting or complaining. It's connecting in with my higher power. So it's connecting in with God, my higher power, who I choose to call God. Because if I sit with my resentment, if I sit with my anger or my frustration, then it builds up. And if I pick up that food, if I pick up my alcoholic foods, I truly don't know that I have any more recovery in me. I don't know that I'd come back. I see people do it. I don't know that I could ever come back. If I pick up those alcoholic foods, I may just be gone for good. And that will kill me. I mean, this is such a good reminder because my disease is not just about gaining weight. It's not about just gaining weight or getting fat or eating too much. It will kill me. It just will shut me down and will kill me because I will eat and not be able to stop. And I don't want to live like that. You know, I've been in recovery for 4 years. And definitely I can say recovery is not linear, but the answer always, always, always for me is working the steps. The answer is always, always, always in the steps, you know, whether I'm doing a 10-step, whether I'm spending my time doing my 11-step prayer and meditation and self-inventory, whether it's asking God to grant me the willingness to let go of my character defects and to have him lift them for me. So thank you so much for making the meeting happen. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Thanks so much. Enjoy your time in Maine. So next up we have Donna, and we'll get your last initial in your state. And then after Donna, I'll be able to take some more names. So get ready if you're interested in sharing. Donna, good morning. Go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Donna B. calling from Denver, Colorado. I do spell my name D-A-N-A, although it's pronounced Donna. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I'm thinking of the sentence in the big book that says, anger is the dubious luxury of normal men. And sometimes this whole concept of anger and resentment can be quite confusing for me. As a woman from a dysfunctional family, in fact, when I was a child, my mom used to slap my face and she would say to me, "Get the feelings off your face. Nobody cares what you're feeling." And it was really important to her that I had a composure of happiness, well-being, sociability, all of these things. And I brought myself to the program. So I see the big book through my lens, through my life experience. And so when I read things and hear things about anger being the dubious luxury of normal men, and I hear that resentment is going to kill me, what I hear is, don't feel, don't acknowledge, don't get angry. And it is a reminder to practice the principles of my family of origin, which were to suppress, to hide, to lie, to pretend. And the big book also tells us when we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask God for the next right thought or action. And to me, that's a message of encouragement because it says, I am going to get agitated and it's okay to get agitated. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to have feelings of dissent and disapproval and judgment. I mean, those things are part of the human experience and they are going to happen. I cannot suppress them. But I have these tools and I have a fellowship in which I can be honest about what is going on inside of me. And there is a chance through utilizing these tools that I can process those feelings in a new and healthy and life-giving sort of way. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. And that's Donna spelled D-A-N-A. Thanks for your share. So let me just remind everyone that we are on page 66. We read the first paragraph, which starts, "It is plain that a life," and just that one paragraph. And although we value everyone's experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that everyone gets a chance to share their experience too. So who else would like to share?
Barbara.
Okay, I heard Barbara.
And
Diana.
Adele R.
I think I have Anne and Polly. Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I heard Barbara, Melissa, Anne, Polly. Who else did I miss?
Diana.
Michelle, Suzanne.
Jordan L.
Michelle, Suzanne,
and Jordan. Let's stop there, and I'm not sure that we'll get everyone in, but we'll try. We'll see what we can do. Okay, so I've got Barbara, Melissa, Anne, Polly, Diana, Michelle, Suzanne, and Jordan. Okay, Barbara, just give us your last initial and your state, and then go right ahead. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. This is Barbara W. from the state of Washington. Very happy to be here. I don't share very often. And but today it just struck me, that sunlight of the spirit. And it also reminded me of my father. He was a big man. He was an alcoholic. And I resented how he treated my parents were divorced. I resented how he treated my mother. And I resented his screaming and his profanity and not providing for his family and all that sort of thing. And it just ran very deep. And just recently, I felt a just distinct release from that resentment. I've been moved by my higher power to find music that I find very uplifting. It could be very sacred, or it could be from Broadway, anything that would lift me up, and I'm going to make my own mix. And I realized when I decided to do that, that I was walking into the sunlight of the spirit. I was finding ways through that resentment. Instead of going around it, of going through that pain, the sorrow, the disappointment as I look back in my childhood. The other day, someone in the meeting shared, they said they wanted to bridge the gap between what my father was and what I thought my father should have been. And boy, did that strike home with me. Because my dad was a human being. He had pain and sorrow, and it was evident looking back that he had a lot of it. And doesn't excuse his behavior. I do know that he cared deeply about me and would take me places and, amusement parks, movies, things like that. And he wanted to be with me. And that was a very special part of my life. So I started to look at the good things and walk into that sunlight of the spirit. And I'm at peace with my dad now. I can look at pictures of him and start to feel the things that were wonderful about him.
time.
So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. Glad you shared today. Okay, so next up is Melissa, followed by Anne. Melissa, just your last initial and state, then go right ahead.
Hi, Melissa W. from New York. So grateful to be here. For me, you know, I see the whole program in this paragraph, and that language, the sunlight of the spirit, like how beautiful is that, and what a promise is that, that if I work these steps and I work all of these steps, then I get that. And I was living that. I was living in futility. I was living in unhappiness, and I was living in the opposite of sunlight. I was living in darkness and totally cut off from the rest of the world, living in resentment, living in fear. And I didn't even realize, I think, what that was. And it wasn't until I realized that to drink was to die that I crawled in here, you know, with the gift of willingness, which was explained to me that that was 10 parts desperation, but one part hope, that I had hope. And the problem was that, as the book, Big Book, tells me, you know, so many want to stop but cannot, but there is a solution, and the solution actually is working these steps, all of the steps. And, you know, we just went through step four when we get to this paragraph. And as I heard, this is the beginning of a new set of skills that teach me a new way of thinking, that I can see that people no longer dominate me. And I can move out of a way where I can see that everything's done to me, and I can learn how to live. And I can move out of these resentments that lead me to futility and unhappiness. And I can move into the sunlight of the spirit. And I'm just beginning this inventory process of steps 4 through 9. And that the promise of that sunlight just awaits me, and how beautiful that is, and how grateful I am to be a part of this and part of this fellowship. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Melissa W. from New York. Thanks for sharing. So next up is Anne, followed by Polly. Anne, just give us your last initial in your state. Hi.
This is Anne B. I'm also in New York. I am a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. I really love this section of the Big Book because I believe this is where the entire psychic change that's referred to in the doctor's opinion really starts. And one of the things that's interesting to me about the Big Book process for removing resentments, which starts on page 64, is that it's different from stuffing down resentments. On page 35 to 36, we see that stuffing down resentments results in the insanely trivial excuse, it's okay to drink whiskey with milk. And in the process that's in pages 64 to 67 for removing resentments, a lot of energy is put into that table of resentments that you're supposed to make. Who do I resent? Why? How does this affect me? We have to acknowledge those resentments, not stuff them down. And then we have to get, and then this section on page 66 tells us we are powerless over these resentments. We can't wish them away. God has to remove them from us. And we have to get them removed by prayer. And that's, I think it's really important that the Big Book does not ask us to stuff them down, but to acknowledge them and honor them and really look at them, not pretend that they're not there. And so that's very different from just don't feel angry. And sometimes this is a slow process. I know I'm going through this thing where I insulted somebody, and I know I can't make amends to her until I'm truly sorry. I can't say I'm sorry if I'm not sorry. And so I'm doing a lot of praying about removing the resentment and guidance for what sort of amends that I should make if God, in fact, wishes me to make amends. And it's all a spiritual process. It's not a self-will process. It's not my willing myself to be perfectly calm and detached all the time. it's asking God to show me the way. So I will pass.
Oh, I think I might have been muted. Thank you, Anne B. from New York. I was talking away. Next up, we have Polly, and followed by Deanna. So, Polly, just give us your last initial and your state and go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you for your service. Hi, my name is Polly Q, and I am in Northern California. You know, I was the resentment machine is really run by the ego engine in my situation. And, you know, I can swing from I'm right to the ego will swing me to I'm right to I'm worthless. I just don't know anything. You know, I'm not going to make it, you know, to self-pity. It'll go one way or the other, you know, either way, it's pretty desperate. So I was in a last night I was in my car and I got a call from somebody who wanted to purchase an automobile, and the automobile wasn't available anymore. And this gentleman got really mad. He got really mad and told me I wasn't a person of my word. And you know, of course I hung up, you know, cause I had said the truth and it's time for me to go. But I really got caught up in that, you know, oh God, did I do it wrong? Did I say something I shouldn't have said? I don't even know this man. Okay. Like, he just swung by my house and asked me about an automobile that, you know, a lot of people have asked me about. And so there is, you know, I started to get a resentment. Well, how dare he? Da 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 da. And I thought, oh, God, I'm gonna have to take this through the 10th step. And I've been feeling a little bit down lately, and so I took it through the 10th step. And what came out of that 10th step, about because of that resentment, was so profound. And I don't know why it is, because I always say the same thing when I'm working with 10 steps with others is, I think there's a right script. I think somebody has the right script. Either you have the right script or I have the right script. Either he has the right script or I have the right script. And so what I really want to be is God. You know, I really want to say, that's what my ego tells me. You, yes, you are justified. Your script is the right script. And if somebody tells me my script isn't right, well, screw them. My script's the right script. I'm going to prove my script's the right script. And one thing will lead to another for me. And then that resentment will continue even through the 10th step. I have to realize that everybody, including that gentleman, has a right to his script. It's not wrong. That's his script. He thinks his script is the right one. So the point is, I got to give up the scripts, folks. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Polly Q from California. Thanks for that share. So next up, we have Deanna, followed by Michelle Suzanne. And we are going to be running a little short on time, so if anyone wants to cut back on the timing of their share, we might be able to get everyone in. Let's see. So Deanna, just give us your initial and state, and then we'll go right ahead.
Is it Dion R?
Oh, Dion R. That must have been it. I'm so sorry. Thank you for that correction.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Hi, my name is Dion R, and I am from Ohio, Cincy, Ohio. I'm very grateful to be on part of this meeting. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, recovered from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. What I like in this paragraph is that we found that in the middle part, it talks about we found that deep resentment is fatal. It's fatal. That means I can die or I'll become a compulsive overeater living in denial. That was my big, I stayed in denial for 20-some years in this program. when all I thought about was food. Today I don't, you know, since June 23rd, 2012, you know, I had the freedom. I have neutrality, not only around food, many other things, because food was my drug of choice. That was the ooh-wee. That was that one I was holding on to when I got rid of everything else, you know, and I'm grateful because I don't have to live with the insanity of a disease, and I have a choice. I do. I have a choice to say I'm resentful and I got a right to it and I want to live it. I got the choice to be in freedom. Say, higher power, how do I get rid of it? Well, he says, read this chapter. This is how it works. You know, if you want to be free from your addiction, or you can hold on to it and stay in that denial. But am I really recovering, Dion, if I'm holding on to such, what is this, for harboring such feelings to shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit? I don't want to do that no more. Walk, be a living dead, and I'm right all the time. I can justify why I'm wrong. You know, to me, that was insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And I love, and with this, I love my new awareness and want to grow toward happiness and not uselessness. I love that, you know, or I got a choice. I could stay in denial, but what's that? What is the ultimate evidence of that? Mm. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this beautiful process. And I'm going to pass.
Oh, thank you, Dion R. from Ohio. Thanks for being a part of the process. So now we'll have Michelle Suzanne. We've got just about 3 minutes if you want to leave any of that time for Jordan. Otherwise, we'll have to ask her to come back tomorrow. So Michelle Suzanne, just give us your last initial and state and go right ahead. I thought I heard a Michelle Suzanne, but you may need to press star 1 to unmute. Okay, Jordan, I think it's Jordan L. Are you still there? We've got just about 2.5 minutes left. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. Thank you.
Okay, cool. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado this morning, and grateful to be on a meeting with you guys. And I just wanted to point out the talk of hope in this paragraph. It's kind of funny. It's something that it took me a really long time to see. it took me a really long time to see that word in there. And what it says is that we can't justify our resentments. Not that we can't have them, because I think, you know, we've talked about it a lot this morning. It's pretty human to have resentments. It's pretty human to be resentful at some point in time. And I don't know about you. I've been practicing the 12 steps for a while now, and I have not risen above that level of humanity, you know. Maybe it's God's will and someday I will, but I haven't yet. and so I get angry still. And what's important about the words here is that I don't justify that anger anymore. It's not righteous. I've gotten to a point now where no matter how good that anger feels at the time, my rational brain, my logical brain knows that it's not good for me and it's not good for the people around me and it's not justified. and if hope is the maintenance and growth of my spiritual experience, then I have to return to that place of hope as quickly as I possibly can. What I've found is that anger and hope, they don't, they can't really exist together, you know, like they're not, they're mutually exclusive. I can't be super angry and justified and righteous about it but like time. And hopeful for the future at the same time. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Oh, thank you, Jordanelle from Colorado. Thanks for sharing. And Michelle, Suzanne, if you weren't able to unmute, I hope you'll come back another day and share with us what beautiful shares today. Thank you. So we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Lois P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.